Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, we've been talking about watching our mouth the last several weeks. What comes out of our mouth? Let's start in James 1:26, and we'll go on from there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. James 1:26. Thank God. It says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. If anyone among you thinks he's religious, you could say thinks he's spiritual, thinks he's got it together, but he does not bridle his tongue. You know, somebody, it's easy to think we're further than we are. You know that? You know, there's different stages of growth, spiritual growth, just like there is a natural. You know, you have somebody that's a baby just born again. They're a lot like natural stages. You have a baby that's just born again. You have somebody that's a child learning. You have a teenager, kind of teenager spiritually. How many of you know teenagers usually think they know more than they actually do? You ever seen that bumper sticker? Quick, hire a teenager while they still know it all. My dad used to give me a hard time when I was 13. We saw that in a grocery store. He was like, I ought to get that. No, teenagers have a tendency to think they're further than they are. They think they know it all. Well, this is simple, right? We got it all. This is simple. I mean, why do you old people do things the way you do? Don't you just see it's supposed to be this way and this way and this way? Amen? Well, as you go on, you learn that you don't know so much. And the further you go, you realize you don't know anything. You're just happy that God's using you where you are. You realize God is so much higher. Somebody said it like this. You know, when you first get born again, and people, I mean, you can really be aware of what God did in your life, but you know, you realize there's a gap. When you come to faith in God, you're realizing that you can't bridge the gap between what God requires and what you are in your own self. And that's when you have faith in Jesus. That's when you come to faith and realize, I can't do it. I can't do it. I need a Savior, and I call on the name of the Lord, and then you become born again. What were you saying earlier? As you go on, you realize the different areas in your life that maybe you realize how far away you really were, and you realize how holy God really is, and so it just grows. You just realize what Jesus did on that cross. Sometimes when people are young and immature, they're like, you know, I had a few things wrong, but I mean, pretty much, I was there, and I'm pretty good right now. I mean, when you're a teenager, sometimes, spiritually speaking, you think you know more, and you think you're further. But when we become mature and grow up, we realize some things. We realize who God is, and we come to be hopefully more like Him. But we are saying the one who thinks he's religious, the one who thinks he's spiritual, there are a lot of people that believe they're spiritual when in fact some of them are babies. Some of them are just little children. Know enough just to be dangerous. But they can think they're further. And then a teenager where you know some stuff, but you really don't know as you ought to know. You need to be under somebody, but you think you ought to be a teacher. Well, this is one aspect of it. The ultimate gauge, whether we're spiritual or not, is are we walking in love? Because God is love. The more love you are, the more you are like Him, period. It's not how you flow in the gifts, and it's not all this shiny stuff. Those are necessary, and those are good. We're not knocking those things, but people that are immature sometimes get caught up in the exterior, some outward flashiness, and these people are totally carnal. That's dangerous. But one gauge is, what are you doing with your mouth? So, and that's basically what he's saying. If you think you're spiritual, if we think we're spiritual, but we don't control our tongue, the Bible says our religion's useless. This is what this word means, the actual Greek word. It means fruitless, empty, futile, frivolous, hollow, unreal, unproductive. There's a lot of this. This goes on for a little bit. Lacking substance, trifling, ineffectual, void of results. We're getting somewhere now. Some people think they're spiritual, but they're not seeing anything. This might be something that we should look at. Devoid of force, success, or utility, and worthless. I'll run through that just real quick. Useless means fruitless, empty, futile, frivolous. Now note he said, if you don't bridle your tongue, your religion is like this. Frivolous, hollow, unreal, unproductive, lacking substance, trifling, ineffectual, void of results, devoid of force, success, or utility, and worthless. How many, I do not want my faith, my religion, to be like that. Void of results. I'm super spiritual, but I look around and no fruit. But I know I'm super spiritual, and I just, why do you know? Well, I know a lot, and I can quote some scripture, and I can quote all these preachers, and I'm spiritual. Never mind that in my life, I'm not seeing any results, and when I'm not around you, then I go and let my mouth run wild. And if you heard me, you'd say, wow, that doesn't line up at all with what he says. I don't want to be like that. We don't want to be hollow, like it says. No, this is a test. And this is real. And it is important what we let our tongue do and not do. We need to bridle it, like we were saying. Thank the Lord. Skip down to James 3. James 3, verse 8. It says, no man can tame the tongue. But he got done saying, and we went over this last week, he tells you to bridle it, and he tells you that it, up in verse 2, he says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect or mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. So we can bridle it, but you can't bridle my tongue. And you can't bridle your own tongue without God's help, as you ought to. So you, he's not saying you just can't do it. Otherwise, he's contradicting himself. He's saying you in your own strength, you can't do it, and you cannot control my tongue. I dare you. You can't do it. Unless you forcibly cut it out or something. You can't control what another person says about you. So we might as well quit trying to do that. Because as soon as they go out of your presence, you can't control them anyway. So don't worry about what somebody else is thinking about you. Drop that. Don't worry about it. Leave it up to God. Verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Thank God. He's saying it ought not to be so that we hear both blessing and cursing out of our mouth. Not one side, you know, we're saying good, and then, you know, like this morning, we're praising God, bless you, hallelujah, and then we get home and we're letting our spouse have it. Or somebody does something on the way home, one of the kids, and we're turning around and letting them have it. We ought not to curse men and bless God with the same mouth. Thank God. Let's go over to, let's just look on your sheet there. We're going to go to Ephesians, but let's just look at 1 Peter on the way over there. 1 Peter on your sheet, 1 Peter 3:10 says, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Thank God. Let's see. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, let's just jump into this. Let's skip down to, let's go to Matthew. I'm going to go a little bit, go down there, and then maybe we'll come back to Ephesians. Matthew. Matthew 16. Thank the Lord Jesus. Matthew 16, verse 13. I want to get into a little bit here of why it's so tempting to say the wrong thing and what is really going on a lot of times. Of why we're tempted to say the wrong thing and how it can be that one thing, that you say one thing that seems good and then you say something else that seems bad, that's not right. And get into that a little bit. Matthew 16, verse 13. It says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' So they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Verse 17, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.' Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ." So Jesus asks him a question. He answers and says, "Who am I?" And he said, "You're the Christ." And he said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father has." Now notice the next part here. Verse 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. Then Peter took him aside." Peter, the same one that just got done saying, "You're the Christ," that God had inspired him and revealed this to him. Verse 22, "Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.'" Jesus is telling him what's going to happen to him. He knows who he is. He knows what has to happen. "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." Verse 23, "But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" Same guy, same mouth. Doesn't say exactly, you know, how long in between, but Peter spoke exactly what he should, revealed to him by God, and then he said something that Jesus looked at him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." How does that happen? Well, you can see some insight here. One, he's yielding himself, the first time he's yielding himself to the Spirit of God. The second time, he's yielding to the devil. Do you think we ever do this? Is it possible for a born-again Christian, been born again for years, to yield your mouth to the enemy? Yes, it is. It's possible. And this is what happens so often. And this can be a source of confusion. People go, "What? Where did that come from? Or why did I do that?" Well, there is a spiritual realm. There is something beyond what we see, and so much we have to determine what we yield ourselves to. We want to yield ourselves to God. Period. I don't know about you, but I do not want the devil renting my mouth. Do you realize the devil will attack you through other people? And he'll attack other people through you, if you'll let him. Yes. Now, I'm not saying you're possessed. No. It's just yielding to him. He puts some pressure on your flesh, or puts some pressure, gives you a thought. You have a choice. Am I going to speak that out? Or am I going to not yield to that? And then yield to the Holy Spirit that's inside of me. Glory to God. There's so much here. There's so much here that we could go into. This is such a key to understanding just day in and day out life. That if we'll understand that we, as humans, walking on this earth, we have a choice to yield to different things all day long. And separate it. Separate that, especially when you're dealing with family, you're dealing with people, from the person, and realize, and you can do this at work or wherever, something comes out of somebody's mouth, you can say, that's devilish. Did Jesus rebuke Peter? Or did he rebuke Satan? It was like he was looking right past Peter and he said, you're being a tool right now. Satan, I rebuke you. You're just yielding yourself. You don't even know what you're doing. This happens all the time. You're going forth with some plan or something that God has told you to do, and somebody looks at you and says something, and it's straight from the enemy trying to discourage you. Just like, boom. Just this person is delivering the message, but the message is from the enemy trying to get at you, trying to knock you off course. Happens all the time. But we have a choice, and we don't have to be yielded to the devil for one instant. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Let's look on your sheet, actually. Go back up to Ephesians on the first page there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ephesians 4:29. We're going to look at this in two versions. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt word. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. I mean, that kind of gives a picture, right? Just don't let the words come out of your mouth. Now, I'm not saying every word is inspired spiritually. You have control over your mouth, but there are things you get a thought, and it's from outside of you. It says, let no corrupt word. We ought to be aware of the source of things coming out. And you know you can yield to the Holy Spirit in your words, even when you just, all these other words are coming to your mind and you just want to let this person have it. And you can, that can be just flashing through your mind and your skin's turning red. You know that feeling when you're getting kind of heated? You can feel you're just like, you know. You feel like you're about to let this person have it. You realize that even though it's like that, you can yield to the Holy Spirit inside of you and let God's words come out of you. And you can say, why? I love you. You are blessed of God. I like that. I like that shirt you're wearing. You can turn it around. You can yield to the Holy Spirit. And there is something about doing that that it shuts the situation down. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. You're yielding to the Spirit of God at that point. That can bring love on the scene. That allows God to work. But you yield to the enemy, that can bring chaos into the situation. All of a sudden, you're doing his work, and that can rile something up in him because he's targeting something with that other person. He knows he's trying to push their buttons through you. Now, I know if you're married, you know probably how to push some buttons with your spouse. You've learned that much over time. Well, you may not know somebody else's buttons, but the enemy can push you and you push their buttons without even knowing it. And all of a sudden, they are coming at you like a hornet. And you didn't even know what you said. You had this thing pop in, you didn't think about it, you let it out of your mouth, and boy, you just uncovered the nest. Well, we have to watch what we're yielding to and what we let come out of our mouth. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Edification means to build up. Do you think God wants to build up, or is he the one that tears down? No, he's the one that's building up. So if we're yielding to him, his words will always build up, will always create life. Satan does not know how to do anything but destroy. Do you like being around somebody that constantly nags you and tells you how bad you're doing? No. No, you want to get away from that person. Nobody likes hearing how poorly you're doing, how you're not doing this right, not doing that right. You don't want to hear that. Now, I'm not talking about correction. I'm not talking about things you have to do with children, but we have to watch it there. We don't want to nag them either. What is good for necessary edification that it may impart grace to the hearers? I want my mouth to be used to impart grace. How about you? When we're talking to somebody that it's just, you're imparting grace. The grace is coming out of your mouth. Love is coming out of your mouth. Verse 30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Notice that. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do you know you can say something and grieve the Holy Spirit? Let me ask you this. Let's say you were in the presence, you were talking to the President of the United States, and you were talking to him and bad-mouthing his son or daughter or his wife. Do you think that would make him happy? What if you were talking to somebody else, and the president was in the room next to you, and you're talking to somebody else and bad-mouthing his son or daughter in his presence, talking to this other person? Would that make him happy? Would you do it, first of all? Would anybody in their right mind have the president of the United States standing by them? I'm talking to you, and he's standing right here, and I'm telling you how bad his daughter or his wife or his son is. Would anybody in their right mind do that? How come people do it all the time with children of God when God is omnipresent, he's here, and we'll say all kinds of bad stuff about his child and act like he's not even there? Do you think that grieves him? Yeah, it does. What do you think if you're at home and we start letting our spouse have it or our children? Again, we're talking about things that we know we ought not say, or children talking to their siblings, tearing them down, ripping them to shreds. Do you realize that God is present that whole time watching that happen? That's their child. Husbands, if you're talking to your wife, that's his daughter. And wives, that's his son. Would you say that if somebody physically was present? You wouldn't. Most people have enough sense and enough self-control that if somebody is present, they won't say it in front of them. Because they realize that's gonna be offensive. That's going to hurt them. I'm not going to say that. That's rude. But as children of God, so many people are so quick to tear other people down, ministers, other people in the church, other people you know, and they don't think twice about it. They'll go and talk to their spouse about, did you see that person? Did you see him, how he handled it? And God is there the whole time. This is serious. But do you know what we're doing when we do that? We're yielding to the enemy. We're yielding our mouth to him, and there's these thoughts that come up. Have you ever, you had a thought about somebody and you really weren't thinking that strongly, but you just said, I don't know about that person, blah, 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 blah. Where do those thoughts come from? Again, we're yielding to the enemy. God's not thinking that about. If the person needs something, we ought to pray for them. We ought to speak good of them. You know, Brother Hagin would say, he people that knew him, he would not talk about other people. And I think, I don't know why, I wasn't even planning to go here, but there are people, or we'll say things that we don't think anything of talking about somebody like it's, well, I'm just being real. I mean, we got to talk about the situation, okay? Let me talk to you about so-and-so. I mean, we got to deal with it. No, that's gossip. That's behind somebody's back. That's yielding to the enemy. But Brother Hagin, somebody would come up and, you know, what about so-and-so? What about what they're doing? He would not, people that knew him, he would not come in. He would not partake. He would just be like, maybe they're changed. Maybe they've changed. Well, you know them. What do you think about this? He would not comment on it. Because, you know, part of it, he has reverence for God. He's not going to comment on somebody else's servant and somebody else's child and say things. He knows that the presence of God is there. That God Almighty is present. And all that is, I mean, it's flesh too, but we don't want to yield our mouth for one instant to this type of stuff. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Hallelujah. If we'll be aware of God in us and what He has done for us, it's hard to get mad at other people. It's hard to speak evil of them. I mean, you can still do it. But if you'll realize God loves me, He's for me. You may not know it, and maybe you're being ugly to me, but God is with me, He's for me, and so I'll forgive you because after all, I know myself. Christ has forgiven me, and I'm not going to let that junk come out of my mouth. Let's read this in the Amplified real quick. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. How many of you think God is very much concerned with the spiritual progress of others? Do you realize the enemy is too? And he's aware of it? And when you're making progress, this is no mistake. Hold your, we don't have to hold your finger there, but just, we'll keep that there. Turn over to Ephesians real quick. Ignorance is not bliss. It's not bliss. If we're aware of some things, the Bible says we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. If we're not ignorant and we know what's going on, I'm telling you, it makes it so much easier to resist him when you know what's going on. When you know he's really targeting somebody else and you're like, I'm not that dumb. I'm not going to be a tool to tear you down. When God Almighty loves me, why would I speak against his child? I'm not going to do it. But if we just think naturally and carnally, what we'll think is, you irked me. I have the right to give you a piece of my mind. That's the way we think if we're natural. Well, darn it, you've crossed a line. I'm just going to give it to you. We can think that with our spouse. Well, you know what? I put up with you for enough days. That's it. We're having it out right now, and you start letting it go. If we realize what we're doing at that point, and what we're allowing in our home, and what we're yielding to, we'll look at it totally different. Doesn't matter what the person did. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to yield, because the minute I start yielding myself to that, now I'm joining forces with the enemy. I don't want him anywhere near my stuff. And by me doing that, now I'm yielding to him. I'm becoming a vessel that the enemy can flow through. Talk about a vessel that God can use and God to flow through. No, my heart and desire is that I want God to be flowing through me and me to have grace to proceed out of my mouth. How about you? And when we become aware of this, let's turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians 6. I'm telling you, it changes. It will change the atmosphere of your home. You'll realize what's been going on at some time, at certain times. And how? I'm telling you, we haven't gotten there yet. Let's read this scripture and then I'll say something. Chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles." The margin of my Bible says schemes or schemings of the devil. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." We are not dealing with just flesh and blood. I know everything in the natural, everything on the news, majority of the stuff you see totally disregards the spiritual realm. And that means most people are ignorant of what's really going on. But we don't have to be ignorant in our homes. We don't have to be ignorant in our relationships. We can stop things from breaking out in our homes. You know, the Bible said to stop before you even start. Words are like breaking a dam. Just stop the words before the things break out. If you'll be conscious of the fact that there is something else going on besides just the natural interplay between your relationships, we can put a stop to certain things. Have you ever come out of church? Or come out of a conference, or just got done with a really nice time with your family, and you're driving, and you're thinking, wow, that was good. You feel nourished. You feel built up. And then you say something to your spouse, or they say something to you, and it wasn't even related, but it just gets under your skin, or you get under their skin, and pretty soon, all of a sudden, if you're not watching it, you're in an argument and everything that you just got seems like a distant memory, and now you're in strife. Has that ever happened to anybody besides me? Yes. Do you think that's an accident? What does it say over in turn over to Mark. Mark 4, verse 15. Verse 14. Mark 4, verse 14 says, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones, he's talking about the parable of the sower sowing seed. And he says, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. There are tactics. It's not a coincidence when certain things happen. This is what I believe God is opening our eyes to. There are many things that are happening and pushing buttons and stealing the word, and it just seems like, well, why does this always happen? Now we're in an argument and you're looking at the person and it's not the person. I'm not saying the person doesn't have some issues to deal with, but there's something behind it that's trying to destroy relationships and homes. And the timing, impeccable sometimes. Something will happen. You're just getting going on something. You're just being consistent in something. And something gets in there to sow discord, to divide you. I tell you, Shelley and I watch this. I've seen it happen so many times, and we've become a lot wiser over the years. I'm not saying we do it perfect, but I've seen it happen so many times where we just got something. In fact, last night, something happened where we just got done. We had just gotten some revelation on some things, and we're talking about it, and good. It was really good, and I said something completely not, just said something, wasn't meant to be derogatory or anything, and she took it a different way. And I could tell, and then I said something else about it, and by her reaction, I could tell she's taking it a different way. Now, I could have jumped on her and been like, why are you taking it that way? I wasn't meaning that, and I have done that in the past, and boom, you're you got the gloves on and you're ready to go. You know what I'm talking about? It's not always the person that says the first word. Sometimes somebody says something. Yeah, they were wrong to say it, or maybe you totally misunderstood what they said. But the other person has the opportunity to let it go by. We don't always, and if we think totally carnally, we'll think, you shouldn't say that. Wait a minute. I'm going to let you have it for that. Now, it's so easy to get into where you're battling and you don't even remember what you were arguing about when you get done. But if we realize what is going on, I understood we just are getting a hold of these things. This could turn to fight, but it's not going to. I said, I didn't mean that like that. I meant it like this. I see what's going on. And it totally dropped. Totally extinguish it. But that happens. Satan will try to get you, or your flesh. Sometimes it's just our stupidity that we say something. But there is a level above that where there is something planted to try to steal something from you, to try to steal peace from you, to try to get your home in turmoil. You are believing for something as a family or as a spouse, husband and wife, and you're going together and you're already, you're under pressure already. Satan would love to get strife in between you and your spouse, because at that point, you're already getting pressure from the outside. If he divides you, now what? You're individuals. Now you can't go together. You got strife here. You got strife on the outside. He's trying to pick off. He's trying to destroy. And a lot of it has to do with our mouth. When was the last time you got in a fight by writing letters? I suppose text you could. Email, you could get. Would you text that for? When you have a little emoticon with a little devil with a, mad face. What are you doing? I'm getting mad here. But the majority of the time, it's with words. The majority of the time, you've said something. You've said something and you've made... Have I lost you? Majority of the time, you've said something and you've gotten somebody either you've got offended, they've got offended, but a lot of it has to do with words. And we need to realize what's going on. And we need to realize that it's not isolated to our family. And you don't have such a bad spouse, a bad wife, or a bad husband if they would just control their tongue. You can look at somebody and realize you are yielding to the devil. I'm telling you what. I'm just talking about where the rubber meets the road here now. Because you'll believe, so-and-so wouldn't say that or whatever. We all can yield to the enemy. We can all say stupid stuff. And if we'll realize when our spouse says something dumb, what's going on? Because don't sit there. It's so tempting to sit there. They say something and you're like, I can't believe you said that. As if you would never say that. And as if you'd never have yielded to the wrong thing. If you realize that just like Peter yielded and said something about the Spirit of God, inspired by the Spirit of God. And a little bit later, he says something that's completely inspired by the devil. Well, if he can do that, then your spouse can do it. And you can do it, and it doesn't mean you're backslid, and it doesn't mean you're a completely bad Christian. What it means is you just yielded to the wrong thing, and what we need to do, if it's us and we let it come out of our mouth, is say, I'm sorry, I just yielded to the wrong thing, forgive me. I'm telling you, when we became more aware of this, we'll say that very thing. I'll say something stupid, and boy, you can see the fire getting going. No, that was stupid. I said the wrong thing. Forgive me. I yielded to the wrong thing. And she knows what's going on too, and she'll say, all right, I forgive you. And vice versa. She'll say something, Jim, I didn't mean it. This is where we live. We can... Because if you look at him and go, I cannot believe you said that, and well, you're this, now it's going. Now what do we, the enemy might have got something going, and he just backs out now and says, I'm going out to lunch, you guys will be there for the next 3 hours. He doesn't have to do anything. Could be 3 days. Just going around circles. Why? Letting strife in. No, we don't, but we don't have to yield, and when we yield, if we'll realize that just like I... Have you ever said... Let me ask you this question. Have you ever said something that you did not mean? In an argument. You were in an argument, you were heated, and you said something to your spouse that you really didn't mean, but you didn't care at this point. You're going to let it fly. I'm going to get you. We're opening up. The gloves are off. I'm going to say it all. I know you. I've known you for 20 years, and I know what to say, and it's going to really tick you off now. Has anybody ever said something that they really didn't mean, but they were doing just twist the knife? Yes. If you can do that, is it possible that your spouse could do it and say something and not mean it? But what is our tendency? Well, they said it, though. I'm not going to forgive them. Forget it. They said it. You heard it. They said it. I'm not. Forget you. Were you going to say that? Forget you. I'm done for a while. You know, I'm not going to talk to you for a while. That's hypocritical. We should just say, oh, you didn't mean it? Okay, I understand. You said something stupid just like I've done it, and let's just laugh about it and go on. Now, I'm not. I know in the middle of the heat of the moment, it's not always easy to just go on. But the quicker, the more we realize what is really going on and that, you know what? The person that we're talking to isn't all bad. I've known them for how many years? 10, 15 years, 5 years, 20 years, whatever. They're still a good person. They're not the epitome of evil just because they said the wrong thing. If we separate, just like Peter was still used in the early church mightily, even though Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He wasn't thrown to the wayside. Just because he yielded his mouth to the wrong thing did not mean he's completely not fit for use. And the enemy will come to you. See, now, your spouse could say something. and it be the absolute wrong thing. And at this point, the enemy could come to you and say, I cannot believe they just said that. I mean, they are holding me back. I want to go on and be with God and walk. And he will feed another lie to you that's pride, that is completely, you know, hypocritical, and make it like they are a problem. I can't believe that I'm dealing with this. If you're trying to go on to do something with God, you're like, I can't. That's all the enemy too. And you can choose whether or not to yield to that. And I'm just telling you, everybody has this stuff come to them. Some people think, well, I'm a Christian. We don't have anything. We never have those thoughts. Has the devil moved? You don't think he's not still trying to divide and destroy marriages? But see, we can get wise to where when the thought comes, he's not going to stop trying, but you don't yield to it. You just deflect it and say, no, I know what's going on. I've been down this road. No, said the wrong thing and put the fire out right there. Even if you did it and it was a 2 minutes and you started getting into it, you can still stop it and put the fire out. Even if it's half hour, I mean, it might take longer in the beginning. Even if you did it, you've already said a bunch of stuff, you can still come back, and it might take some time. Husbands, it might take some time for your wife's emotions to calm down. So even if you said a bunch of stuff and you come and say, I'm sorry, and you expect everything to just be okay, sometimes it's not okay. You just need to say, I'm sorry, I yielded the wrong thing, and then go in that other room and let her cool down. You guys are looking so sanctified. Just never happened. I don't know what you're talking about, Jim. No, I'll tell you what. This is what we're talking. When James says, if you don't control your mouth, your religion is useless. We can talk about all this stuff about what the word says. But if we just let the devil have free reign in our relationships and just, I don't care, we're going to fight. Not, you know, I'm just going to put my religion or my faith aside. God, don't look. And then we're going in and we're just going to get. Don't we do that? Isn't it tempting to do that? Well, I know God's there, but I'm going to act like he's not. Close the door and all right, let's have this thing out. God's still there. And that whole time we're knocking down our spouse or a brother or sister or whatever, we're actually saying those words against his son or daughter. And we're acting like he's not standing right there, and the whole time he's there. You know how the better thing to do is realize that he is there, that the grace of God is there, and we don't have to let the words fly. Even though everything in us wants to just let it go, we can say, no, God, you're here. I refuse. God bless you. And you start saying something nice to diffuse it. You know you can diffuse a situation like that. That was a stupid thing for me to say. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I really love you. I just said something stupid. And if you have to buy some flowers or whatever to do it, that's okay. But we can yield to the right thing. Amen. In our families, we don't have to let those things come out of our mouth. We don't have to let the devil tear our spouse down through our mouth. Yes. Amen? Amen? Thank God.